Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of April 21st, 2018. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Ms. Mariah Tinger. How are you doing, Mariah?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. And we're also joined by our other frequent guest and our other prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. So, in early March, the Toxics Action Conference down at Northeastern University happened, co-sponsored by the Massachusetts Climate Action Network, and was a great success. It had lots of different speakers, and as it happened, Mariah and I were there. We interviewed, with our little trusty little tape recorders, assorted people. And of course, it's been 6 weeks since the conference, and now we're in a position finally to listen to some of the audio and discuss it. One of the important topics that came up in the conference was about voting in November of 2018, in the elections that are coming up this fall. And we had the chance, there was a session in the conference by a gentleman named Nathaniel Stinnett of the Climate Voter Project, I think is the name, right?
Environmental Voter Project.
Environmental Voter Project. And so what I thought we'd do is take a moment and listen to that tape. And what you're going to hear is a discussion of what gets people to vote, especially environmental voters, but why, how we as a group, the people listening to this podcast, can help other people get out and vote their environmental feelings. So what I'm going to do, Mariah and DR, I'm going to play the tape, we'll listen to it, and then we'll come back and discuss what we heard. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Sounds good.
Let's see how all this works. We're recording. So again, we're back at the Local Environmental Action Conference 2018 here at Northeastern. We had the great opportunity to talk to Nathaniel Stinnett of the Environmental Voter Project. How are you doing, Nathaniel?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
Joined by our favorite climate hawk, Ms. Mariah Tinger, who happens to be here as well. So you gave a session earlier today about, in essence, about the issue of environmentalist voting. And I guess, what's the problem with, and what's the disconnect with environmentalists and voting?
So that's a great question. I was surprised when I figured this out, and my guess is that many of your listeners would be surprised too. It turns out environmentalists are pretty awful voters. People who really, really prioritize climate change and other environmental issues consistently vote less often than the rest of registered voters. And to give you some data, in the 2016 presidential election, 69% of registered voters voted, but only 50% of people who prioritize environmental issues voted. If we go back to the 2014 midterm elections, 44% of registered voters voted, but only 21% of environmentalists did. So we've got a turnout problem, but the good news is changing people's habits is a lot easier than changing their minds. The good news is there are lots of environmentalists out there. We've actually got a silent green majority. Oh. We just need to change the silent part. We need to start voting.
You need to be the vocal green majority. Yeah.
Right.
And so what is your recommendation to someone who may be urging other people to vote or trying to get people to the polls? Because, again, I think most of the people listening to this show, probably environmentalists, I hope they vote, but I mean, how should they be thinking about it? Or about themselves and convincing other people that they ought to vote?
Right. So that's a great question. One of the dirty secrets we have at the Environmental Voter Project is we almost never talk about the environment. And there's a good reason for that. It's not that we don't like talking about it. It's that talking about climate change and talking about the environment is a very good way to persuade people to change their mind about something. But it is not necessarily a good way to change their behavior. And we've found in lots and lots of studies that it's actually not a very impactful way to turn a non-voter into a voter. So before I tell you what you ought to do, I just want to stress, trying to logically convince someone that it's important to vote because they care about environmental issues, might make for a satisfying conversation, but it actually rarely works. What we've found really works, and some other organizations have found this as well, is you gotta think of yourself as being back in middle school. Peer pressure works, and social pressure works. And I can give you some actual techniques and actual messages if you're interested.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, one of the most important things you can do is let people know that this year, environmentalists are voting. That might seem like a very simple, almost like banal thing to say, mm-hmm. but people want to go along with the crowd. We're social animals. And if they think that this year environmentalists are showing up to vote, they won't want to be left behind. Mm-hmm. We've realized that a lot of the language that works best is based in a type of behavioral science called expressive choice theory. What that means is you want to take advantage of how people express themselves, not the rational decisions they make. So you don't want to say, hey, it's important to vote because something important to you might happen. Studies have shown that doesn't really impact people. Instead, you appeal to how people view themselves. You say things like, Ted, is it important to you to be a good voter? Or, Mariah, did you know that last time there was an election, 87% of the people on your street voted? Mm-hmm. Now, you might not have that information at your fingertips, how many people voted on your street, but those forms of peer pressure increase turnout 4, 5, sometimes even 6% in an election.
And to your point, you didn't say, you know, did you know that it's that, you know, 87% of the people on your street voted for environmental concerns. You said they voted.
They voted.
They just got out.
It's just like my guess is both of you and maybe of your listeners now get utility bills that compare your energy consumption to your neighbors.
Very powerfully motivated.
Those work because we're still in middle school. We care about beating our neighbors. And so one thing we've realized is that even people who don't vote still embrace the societal norm that voting is an important thing. And if you take advantage of that, mm-hmm. you can really drive turnout. So even if there's just one simple thing that your listeners do with their members and colleagues this year, it can be when you're on social media, make sure that your friends and neighbors and colleagues know that you're not just voting, but you're voting because you're an environmentalist. It's a method of expressing yourself as an environmentalist. Because mm-hmm. right now in the environmental movement, we express ourselves by how we get to work. Maybe we've changed how we, you know, how we commute,
we
compost
food,
we change our energy, but we're not used to expressing ourselves politically. Mm-hmm. Whereas, I mean, compare that to gun owners. Right now in the United States of America, if you really care about gun rights, you vote like it's your job. Yeah. It's one of the most important ways you express yourself and the things that you care about. Right now, environmentalists will spend hours each week sorting recycling, but they won't take 20 minutes to go and vote.
And I've heard it said that liberals march and conservatives vote.
Right. That's right. But the good news is, remember, we have that silent green majority. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We have this enormous political potential that we're not yet realizing. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, it's frustrating that environmentalists aren't voting, but it's actually an enormous opportunity.
Yeah.
Because simply by voting, you're going to change policy. Not only will we elect different people, but politicians go where the votes are.
Even if you lose, you scare the bejesus out of the guy who almost lost, right?
Exactly. And whether you vote or not is public information. And so politicians know who vote, and they know who doesn't vote. And do you think they care about the people who don't vote? No. Do you think they poll the people who don't vote? No. They only care about the issues that voters prioritize. So simply by showing up, you drive policymaking at the local, state, and federal level.
So this is a chicken or the egg question. Mm-hmm. A lot of politicians do not put environmental issues into their platform.
Right.
Is that some of the problem with why environmental voters maybe don't get out?
So that's a great idea. We've tested it, and no, it's actually not the case. What we've realized is that through study after study after study, oftentimes great voters don't think that politicians are responsive to the things that they care about either.
There's a disconnect.
Yeah.
You
poll super voters, and you say, do politicians care about the issues you care about? And they say, no. You poll people who never vote, and they say, yeah, they don't care about that. We poll people who always vote, and they say, and we say, is it important to you to vote in every election? And they say, oh, yeah, it's really important to vote in every election. You ask the same questions of people who we know for a fact from their public voter files have never voted once in their lives, and they say, oh, yeah, it's really important to vote in every election. We don't know for sure why environmentalists aren't voting. It's really hard to measure with precision why someone doesn't take a particular action. But what we do know is this. Even people who aren't voting still buy into the societal norm that voting is a good thing. And that's why they want to be known as voters. That's why when you poll them and ask questions like that, Mariah, they lie their pants off and they say, oh, I vote all the time, I swear. It's because they want people to think they're voting. And that's why social pressure works. That's why you need to, this October, this November, all of your listeners can't just be environmentalists when they go shopping. Can't just be environmentalists when you decide where to get your energy. You need to be loud and proud about the fact that you're an environmental voter. Voting is one of the highest forms of environmental citizenship.
And we would say that everyone's voting, everyone should, I mean, the peer pressure of having the idea that everyone else is voting and you must also participate is powerful.
It is extraordinarily powerful.
And that the idea that your vote is an expression of your values is also a powerful way to motivate people, right?
It absolutely is. And I also think it's important because we're sitting in Massachusetts and we know that there are certain important political struggles in Massachusetts, but also sometimes other states have, at least on the federal level, more important things going on. It's important for people to realize that even if they write their dog's name in on the ballot, it's important to vote. And here's why. The first decision any campaign makes is they decide who are we going to talk to and who are we not going to talk to. And they make that decision by looking at the public voter files.
The record that you voted, not
exactly.
Who you voted for, but the
yeah.
Record. Yeah, that's
and
all.
Ted, if you only vote in presidential elections, but Mariah votes in every single election she has, and I'm running a campaign for governor, I'm not going to bother talking to you.
Right.
I'm not going to bother polling you. I'm going to pay attention to Mariah. And so when environmentalists vote, regardless of who gets elected, they're entering into this small select group of super voters who drive policy at every level. Because there has never, ever been a politician who cares about what all Americans think. Politicians care about what voters think. Which is, it's marketplace dynamics. It's something we're used to anywhere else. I mean, we wouldn't expect Starbucks to care about you if you don't drink coffee. Why the hell would politicians care about you if you don't vote? So we need to be voters. We need to vote like it's our job.
Well, Nathaniel, thank you so much. I know you're busy. You've got another session this afternoon. This is a sort of noontime-ish here at the conference. Thank you so much for taking the time. Really interesting and I hope impactful. I certainly have learned something and we'll talk about things differently going forward. Right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Well,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
So, there's a lot to unpack there. I can go first, but what do you guys think? Tell me. Who wants to go first?
I took down some. You know, I liked that he gave us the specific things to say. Right. This. You know. This is what you say when you're talking to people. This is the year that environmentalists are voting. Scott Pruitt is making a mess of the EPA. So environmentalists are getting out this year. This is the year we're voting. Right. That's one talking point he said. And then it's important. It's important to be a good voter, or did you know that 85% of the people on your street, of your neighbors voted, or whatever it is, that whole peer pressure thing. Simple things to say and a simple shift in sort of my thinking, at least, right? I'm always thinking about, well, talk about the importance of environmental issues, but he's just saying, nope, talk about the importance of voting, and which we do a lot,
makes
of course.
You feel. But, In your self-definition through voting, I mean, that's
right. I am voting.
What did you take of it?
I'm an environmentalist.
Mm-hmm. It's a sound point, and again, voting is the only way to hold people accountable. They're not going to hold themselves accountable. You know what I mean? The problems won't fix themselves.
Well, I really got a kick out of this expressive choice theory, and the analogy that the NRA voters are expressing themselves through the vote, whereas environmentalists express themselves through buying sustainable dishwasher soap, right? Mm-hmm. That's an important difference.
Right. And, you know, so on his website, the Environmental Voter Project website, he talks about that how they're laser focused on creating an army of environmental super voters, because the numbers of environmentalists, people who say they're concerned about environmental issues, is huge. He says that environmental voters have the potential to overwhelm the electorate if they just go to the polls. And, you know, that's what the NRA does. However they do it, they get people to the polls and they overwhelm the electorate. And you can see how it's true. The politicians care about what the voters think. They care that the NRA does not want, you know, wants us to have access to AR-15s or whatever.
And
so
they're going to show up and vote.
Yep.
Yes.
So the message that we should send
through this podcast is that everybody's voting. All the cool kids are going to vote this year. You got to be part of the gang and vote. And that personally, I'm going to vote as an environmentalist, and I hope that everyone else thinks the same way, right?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can sign up to volunteer with Environmental Voter Project to help them with this laser-focused effort to get environmental voters to the polls and, you know, using their passion to make mm-hmm. a difference in policy. It's something that I definitely want to do. I mean, I think this is the kind of the most important thing, is getting us to the polls. Otherwise, all of our talk is just hot air.
Which we have enough of.
We do.
All right, well, look.
I do.
This is a very interesting, as you said, changed my thinking about things. And dear listener, if you hear us talking about voting in a different way over the next few months, you'll know what the root cause of that is. All right, so we should put it down there. Let me say that we'll put up links to the Environmental Voter Project so you can go volunteer or read more about this at the blog. It's massclimateaction.org/blog. You can find us on Facebook at mass/massclimateaction. You can listen to us on most podcast distribution apps nowadays. So we'll close with where we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the reckless policies of the new administration not be accepted as normal, and that the United States put a long-term and equitable price on carbon. So thanks for being here, DR.
Thanks.
Mariah, thanks for being here.
Always a pleasure.
And thanks for helping out at the conference with that interesting interview. That was great.
Yeah, that was fascinating.
So, everybody, we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Very cool.